Hello. Welcome to this podcast from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Inspector General, also known as the OIG. My name is Becky Klingler. Joining me today is Sarah Davidson, an OIG Management and Program Analyst from the Office of Audit and Evaluation.
Thanks for having me, Becky.
Sarah, your team just issued a report about the EPA's oversight of protection plans for managed pollinators. Can you tell us what exactly is a managed pollinator?
Managed pollinators are insects, birds, and other animals that are contracted out to growers for their pollination services. The best example is the honeybee. Beekeepers own and manage honeybee hives or colonies and enter into contracts to lease and transport them to farmers across the country to help pollinate their crops. But honeybees and other pollinators are facing some serious challenges right now.
What do you mean?
Well, habitat loss, disease, and pesticides have caused pollinator populations to decline pretty significantly. According to the National Agricultural Statistics Service, which is part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, the number of managed honeybee colonies in the United States has decreased more than 50%, from 5.7 million in the 1940s to 2.7 million in 2015. The USDA also found that pollinators are responsible for one in every three bites of food we take. Also, pollinators increase the value of U.S. crops each year by more than $15 billion.
Wow. So I'm guessing that the pollinator protection plans have to do with protecting the honeybees and other pollinators.
Yes, that's right. In 2017, the EPA issued a policy to mitigate the risk to bees from pesticides. Pollinator protection plans are included in that 2017 policy. But it's important to note that these are state-level plans and they are voluntary. States choose whether or not to develop and implement one.
How many states have these plans?
The latest information available is from January 2018, when 45 states had developed or were in the process of developing a plan. A few states, however, have chosen not to develop one. For example, Alaska doesn't have any crops that benefit from pollinators, and Iowa already has a pollinator protection statute. Like I said, though, this is a voluntary program, so it's up to the states to decide whether they have a need or a desire to develop and implement a pollinator protection plan.
So if these are state-level programs, what role did the EPA play?
The EPA plays a supportive role. In other words, the EPA encourages states to develop these plans. The EPA has helped to develop guidance that lists the things states should consider when developing their plans, like a stakeholder participation process and how they will let pesticide suppliers know when pollinators are in the area. But the EPA doesn't approve or review these plans, and there is no requirement as to the content of those plans. The guidance is only for consideration.
You and your team found that the EPA needs to do more to oversee these plans. Is that right?
That's correct. As I mentioned before, these pollinator protection plans are included in an EPA policy issued in 2017. In the initial stages of this program, the focus was on development, but many states that have developed these plans are now beginning to implement them. During our audit, we found that the EPA provided guidance for the development stage, but it still needs to figure out what support, if any, it will provide to states as they move forward to implement their plans. And then the EPA needs to tell the states what type of implementation assistance is available. Also, we found that the agency needs to determine how it will measure the effectiveness of these plans on a national level.
In other words, the EPA needs to assess how well the state plans are working together to protect pollinators overall, whether they are meeting the intent of the 2017 policy?
Yes, that's right. The EPA actually consulted with several state organizations to develop an annual survey of relevant state agencies and stakeholders about the pollinator protection plans. This survey is expected to be distributed beginning this fall. But the EPA hasn't determined how or whether it will use the state-level survey to evaluate the national impact of the protection plans. To make things a little more complicated, though, the 2017 policy is not the only EPA guidance that addresses pollinator protection.
Why did that complicate things?
Well, every year, EPA program offices issue national program manager guidance documents that outline their goals. Pollinator protection has been included as a national goal in the past two guidance documents for the agency's Office of Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention. but the goals in these documents are actually broader than the 2017 policy. The 2017 policy focuses on honeybees, as do most of the state protection plans. But the National Program Manager guidance focuses on all pollinators, so not just managed pollinators, but also native pollinators, those pollinators that are naturally found in a particular area. And the 2017 policy focuses on acute exposure to pesticides, meaning the risk of a single exposure to a single pesticide. The National Program Manager guidance focuses on all adverse effects of pesticide exposure, which is much broader than acute exposure and includes chronic exposure over time.
And so I guess the complication or question is whether the EPA will use the survey data to measure its 2017 policy or the National Program Manager guidance, or both, and whether the protection plan need to address other issues that are not outlined in the EPA's 2017 policy, like other types of pollinators and chronic exposure to pesticide.
Yes, those questions in fact played into three of the OIG's five recommendations to the agency. One, to develop and implement a strategy to use the survey data. Two, to determine whether the EPA will help states address areas of concern not outlined in its 2017 policy. And three, to determine how the survey results can be used to advance the broader goals of the National Program Manager guidance. I alluded to our other recommendations earlier in this podcast, but just to reiterate, we also recommended that the agency determine how it will help states implement their plans and how it will communicate what assistance is available.
Your report indicates that the agency accepted all your recommendations. So thank you so much for your time. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. You can find this and other podcasts on our website at www.epa.gov/OIG.